Thank you. And I'd like to thank Roger for inviting me to to speak at the conference. I'm sort of a warm-up pack to give you a flavour of Limerick City. And the first slide is a map, just to orientate yourselves. Limerick is a Viking foundation. It started on an island in the Shannon. There's some dispute as to whether there was an earlier settlement about a mile upstream at Athlunkard. Some people will accept it, others won't. But by the 10th century, we have a settlement on King's Island, which is this island here. And then the medieval town then extends over the river to onto the mainland. And those two bits form the medieval city. We have the what becomes known as the English town here. This becomes known as the Irish town. I put this map up especially because the later Georgian new town is to the southwest, which is the sort of next development of Limerick. And we're way off up here somewhere at present moment. Just point to a few things on the map. There's a castle there. That is Tolmond Ridge, which leads over the Shannon into County Clare, into Tolmond. Linking the two parts of the town, we have Ball's Ridge, which is spelled with a double A, like Ball. And later in the talk, I will be mentioning John's Gate up here and the Watergate here. So if you can bear in mind where those places are. Now, I say this bit is called the English town, but if we look at the English town, and this is a map that you will be seeing in the Hunt Museum, it's on the stairs in the Hunt Museum. This is a close-up of half of it. This is the English town, and we actually see that the English town is divided across the centre by a wall. That's Ball's Ridge, that's Tolmond Ridge. And in one part of the town we have St Mary's Cathedral and the harbour. In the other part of the town we have the castle, and we have Parish Church of St Nicholas, and then St Munchin. And the interesting thing is that this division, we see it in the civil survey of 1654, where this part of the town is called the main body of the town. This is called the northern suburb, and Irish town down here is the southern suburb. The St Mary's, the parish of St Mary's is restricted more or less to this area, whereas the two parish churches in the suburbs extend over the river into Clare, on the Clare side, and St Nicholas is here, even has a bit of the parishes down just outside Irish town. Now we have this twofold division of the town, and the question arises is how far back can we trace this? And I think we can trace it right back to the Viking foundation, in as much as the first in 969 when the Irish took the town, the town is described as the fort and the good town. They reduced to a cloud of smoke and to red fire afterwards. Sounds as though there's two bits. And then in 1108, we have Limnock, which is the Irish for Limerick, was totally burned, save the market outside. So again, two bits. And then the Annals of the Kingdom of Ireland, 1171, and he burned the market and half the fortress to its centre. So I think that we have the two bits there from the beginning. And if we pop this onto a modern map, well, that's about 1905, the cathedral's there, the castles there. The blue line is roughly the shoreline. The green line is roughly St. Mary's Parish, the cathedral parish. And I think that that is the original sort of settlement of the town. The orange line there is the main street of the medieval town, which runs from Ballsbridge up to the castle, turns left, and then goes down over Tone Bridge. Now, in the Viking period, none of those features existed. And it is my belief that the original main street of the town is this red line here, and that it developed the Vikings, the river was the main thoroughfare, and I think that this is the harbour area. I think the boats were drawn up here, the properties developed along the waterfront, and behind them we get a main street developing, which when the Normans arrive and build all the bridges and the castle, there's a change in the main axis. But when I say this is the area of main settlement, I think the area outside plays a role in the town, and where the T is, I suggest, is where the Viking theme pass was held, and that this was the sort of a sort of administrative centre for the Vikings, and there was probably markets and such like associated with the meetings, and that there was this area to the north was a part of the town, even though it was outside the rampart. And then when the Irish take over, I think that this area here, somewhere in this area, there's a sort of royal compound developed. And in some of the histories of Limerick, you'll read that it was here, St. Mary's Cathedral, and was given over to the palace was given over to the church, but that is incorrect, because St. Mary's, it was supposed to take place in the 1160s, but we know the cathedral was there earlier than that. So we have, I think, the Viking thing class, followed by a royal compound when the Irish were in charge. And then in 1175, the Normans arrive and take the town, and under the castle, and you'll see the remains when we visit there. There is what the remains of what the excavator described as a ringwork castle. And a couple of years later, the Normans retreat, come back in the 1190s, and after that, King John's Castle gets built as we know it today. And that is, I think, the reason why the castle is up there, which is outside the original core, is because of the thing pass. We've got a sort of continuity of governance from that location up by Tome and Bridge. Now, that sort of takes us through to the Normans. I talk about the churches within the town. I mentioned St. Munchin's and St. Nicholas in the northern suburb. One of them was rebuilt, St. Munchin's. Those are the dates of first mention. St. Munchin's was rebuilt, and with no medieval remaining. St. Nicholas is demolished, and we know where it was, but there's no remains at all. In the Irish town, we have St. John's, which was rebuilt, and is, you can go and visit, but you won't see any medieval remaining. And then we have St. Michael's, which is demolished totally, and there's a little bit of the graveyard, a pathetic little bit of the graveyard surviving near the library. And the only building that we have, parish church, surviving is the cathedral, which we will be visiting, and I haven't got the photograph because you'll be seeing it later. But there are also monastic establishments. St. Peter's Cell was the first, Augustinian nuns, then we have Holy Cross, the Dominicans, Franciscans, and that we know that the Templars had a Frank house in the town. All of these, we know where they are, they're depicted on maps and such like, but they've all gone, apart from one wall of the Dominicans, which survives not too far from the castle. That's the north wall of the church. There are excavations over on this side and on the other side. The ones on this side are published, the ones on the other side have yet to be published. Limerick was a walled town. The walls, some of the walls survive, not vast tracts, not vast lengths, but there's quite a lot does survive. Just within the last month or so, we have Aegis Archaeology have prepared a conservation and management plan for the city walls of Limerick. Last meeting, the council has agreed to ask for some money for the walls. So we're hoping that some work will commence, and we actually do have a grant from the Heritage Council to do up some of the walls. The report, if anyone is interested, is on the Aegis Archaeology website, which is www.aegisarchaeology.com, if anyone wants to read it. And we have part of the wall here, that's St. Munchin's Church, and there we have one of the two surviving towers on the wall. This is one of the better stretches, and the second one is somewhere up there and is not as readily visible. I'll be coming back to the walls at a later stage. We have a castle which we'll be visiting. I put this one in because it shows that there was a continuity of use, that the buildings there are the British barracks, which were put in the 18th century. The fact that they've got no roof on, it's we might have an explanation, but actually the barracks were burnt during the Civil War in 1922. And we really care for our monuments here, because once the barracks were demolished, they put council housing in. That's one of the towers. There's a big, you will see the big interpretive centre, which has been built on top of that. Just over on that corner, I should say that underneath the castle, you'll see when we visit that there are the remains of some later 12th century sunken houses. I think there's a row of three. Some of the lesser well-known things are that we have the remains of the King's Mill, and these two walls sticking out appear to be the remains of the mill. And if you look, if you stand over the other side of the river with a pair of binoculars, look across, you'll see that there's a big hole going in there where the axle of the wheel would have been. What is not visible at all, but under the paving there, is the three spans of the medieval bridge which ran out to it, leading to a door in the city wall. We were hoping that when we found them that they might be put on display, but they haven't. We also have here, that is the line of the city wall running up to the castle there, then runs under City Hall, which is just see the beginnings of there. But behind there we have the remains of a medieval house, That's a council car park. And it's a it's got barrel vaults inserted into an earlier building, and we've never been able to get at the outside of the building. I worked on that. We shoveled out the rubbish that had been put into it, but we had to stop at the doors where the rubble was coming through, so we've never seen the outside, unfortunately. But this is just a reconstruction of... there's the tower of the castle, that's the house, there's the mill, the mill bridge and the mill. Just give it, that was done about 18, 20 years ago. And then this is Fanning's castle. The 13th century town, we do get a few mentions of stone houses, but I presume that it is mostly wood. In the later medieval period, we get this type of building. Here we've got a cellar, undercroft, one, two, three stories, an attic. And we have lots of these buildings. This seems to be the type of building that is the main type of building along the main street of the core area. We have other types of buildings, but they are concentrated more in the northern and the southern suburbs. This is, as I say, is Fanning's Castle. There's one or two bits and pieces remain. There's more undercrofts on the main street, but that is the best preserved townhouse that we have. I call it a townhouse because it's not a tower house, and it's known locally as Fanning's Castle, but I know there's a certain person, Ben Murter, who would argue very strongly that it should not be called a castle. And the interesting thing, and I pick up what Robin was saying, the later medieval period, I was going to say we're beyond the pale, but Robin's pointed out that how the pale was, there was more to late medieval Ireland, or English Ireland, than the pale. So we're, can we say, in this sort of more isolated position, we have less direct contact with the crown. It's still a royal city. There's the revenues accumulated to the city. Robin mentioned about the mayor of, I think it was Waterford, being allowed to present himself before the previous mayor, and they seem to have taken on admiralty rights as well on the Shannon. There's all sorts of things accumulated. And I think that later medieval Limerick is very rich. The only problem we have is that for the 15th century we've got virtually no sources whatsoever. So all we have is this sort of rebuilding in stone. St. Mary's gets a lot done to it. The tower houses in the surrounding area. It is, I think it is quite a prosperous area, but with no documentation, unfortunately. Now, another aspect of this is over in the Irish town, where the town walls are, I believe, largely a 15th century build. They come with built-in gun loops, and there is, this is a drawing of 1681, that's the English town, the castle was there, St. Mary's there, Tobin Bridge with a castle on, and that's Bald's Bridge, and that bit there is the Irish town. The walls are built in this later period. There must be money there to build them, but I think the prosperity is shown in the fact that this gate here, the West Water Gate, which is actually one of the minor gates of the town, does not really leading anywhere apart from down to the water. It's actually the only gate in the town that is a twin-towered gate. The rest of the gates are square or rectangular with an arch. Here we have a twin-towered gate. I think that this was built where it was. You would expect it to be on another more important, perhaps on another more important land entrance to the town, but in fact I think it is designed deliberately to be viewed as you come up the river, and it's just showing what a nice prosperous town Limerick is. We have one surviving medieval gate in the town, and this is it. This is St. John's Gate, which is in St. John's Hospital now, and part of the hospital. And the arch above is the arch of the entrance into what's known as the Citadel. There was a siege of Limerick in 1651. The Cromwellians took the town, and for the next 5 years it became a garrison town. And one of the things they built was the Citadel. Basically, it's a sort of fortification slapped up against the inside of the wall, three sides, new build, against the old wall. And it's built with two bastions pointing into the town, so that it's to overawe the town, rather than the previous defences, which have all been facing outwards. So there's a little bit of that surviving in the grounds of St. Mary's, St. John's Hospital. That, by the way, is St. John's Cathedral, the spire of John's Cathedral, which is the Roman Catholic cathedral. And then in the Irish town, we do have the best section of wall. This is the east wall of the Irish town. In 1690 and 1691, there were two sieges of Limerick. After the Battle of the Boyne, King William comes down to Limerick and lays siege to Limerick. And it's late in the year, but they make an attempt and they break down the wall and the breach. They put a breach in the wall and they storm into the town, but are thrown back. And it's so late in the year, they go away, and everybody knows that they're going to come back. This road here is roughly where the breach was. I'm not sure whether it's a coincidence or not, but they put the new road, which was built, put in maybe 200 years later, just happened to be at the spot where the breach was. Don't know whether that's coincidence or deliberate. But during the winter of 1690-91, the French and the Irish refortified the town. And this rampart here behind the wall was built with an inner revetting wall. And the Williamite forces came back in 1691 and laid siege. And the city surrendered, and the Treaty of Limerick was signed, and local tradition has it that it was on top of that, the treaty stone. I don't believe it. Thank you.
If you would. And thank you very much indeed for that introduction to the Archaeology of Limerick. I mean,